sometimes we just see how the Spirit of the Lord leads. We might just press in into worship and just pressing into prayer, like the word came that if you have a word or something during worship, just come and pray and just release the prophetic prayer that God puts in your spirit. Amen. Because some days, sometimes the reason why we follow this format, this flow, this principle of flow is so that we can be on the same page in the thing we're praying. Because sometimes I'm just burning to just start crying out to God. But then the whole reason is for us to be united in that one prayer. So that's why we share this prayer focuses, so that we can be in agreement and just pressing together and just let the Spirit carry us from there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for just allowing God keep your focus into this season. Thank you so much. It means a lot to heaven, but I can tell you it means a lot to me personally, because I understand a little bit about this season, and I know that we need help for people to help push through this time. So I thank you for taking this moment serious, like you're doing. Amen. We are concluding 1 week and we're entering a new week beginning tomorrow. And I believe beginning from, I don't know, the week that we're going to enter into, I think we might be ready to hear some of the reasons for this season in a very clear way that will help us appreciate deeper the urgency of this season. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open to 1 Kings 18. Hallelujah. 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 There's a principle I want to share with you here, and then the principle will lead us into the prayer point. We touched on this last, the all-night prayer, and we pressed into it, but for some reason, as we're praying tonight, we're just crying to God. I feel that the Lord wanted us to, I just feel the need to push through again, deeper into this area, because our prayers create the atmosphere for God to do, you know, to just do what he's doing. That's what prayer does. So I feel the need for us to press in more into this area. I just want to have peace after this time, because I don't know if we'll come back to this prayer point, but I just want to, there's a crossing over after certain prayer. You know, okay, God, I have really release this area in your hand, and I'm at peace, and I know that it's totally in your hand. Amen. That's why I feel again to bring this prayer point for us to really travel into it tonight. Amen. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 18, let's just read verse 1, and then we jump. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Amen. Now, the Lord told him, and then you know the whole story. And from there, Elijah went, showed himself to Ahab, and called for the prophets of Baal and the groups to gather. And they had this contest on Mount Carmel. You all know the story. And Elijah said, the God that answered by fire will be our God. And the prophets of Baal cried out, nothing happened. And Elijah prayed, set an altar. He prayed and fire came from heaven and confirmed that he was a servant of the Lord. And after that, they killed the prophets of Baal, which basically these are the sorcerers and the witches and the people that serve on Jezebel's table. But they were serving under the pretense of God's prophet. So Elijah was able to expose that. When you read it in the Bible, you think everybody knows they were the prophets of, they were not the prophets of God, but they were representing the God of Israel, but they were the prophets of Baal. So that's why this whole contest and why Elijah called them and they killed all of them to purge the iniquity to a level in the land. And after that, then Elijah did something. Let's read from verse 41. I want you to follow this principle. And Elijah said unto Ahab, go thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. We're familiar with this. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the Carmel to pray. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, in other words, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again. So when he would pray, he would say, go look. When he prayed, he would say, go look. So seven times, the seventh time. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up unto Ahab. Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, that word meanwhile is very important, that the heaven was black with clouds, not rain. The heaven was black with clouds and wind, not rain. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Our prayer point tonight will come from verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So that will be our prayer point. But let me explain some things to us tonight. Next week we'll hear more things about this season. But I want to leave some indications tonight. About this season, so that when we pray, that prayer is for us individually, that the Lord's hand will be upon us. We prayed last night. The Lord's hands will be upon our family. The Lord's hands will be upon the church. The Lord's hands will be upon the city, the city government, The Lord will be upon, that's the geographical location where we live. The Lord's hand will be upon the nation. That everything that needs to be in place has to be in place before. So whatever God wants to do in this season, our prayer tonight will be, God, we are human. If Elijah needed you to hasten and accelerate what he needed to do to be in a particular position or to have said to be in compliance before something happened, how much more we? We want to pray tonight that God will lay his hands on us. In other words, will move us because of his mercy, that there will be an acceleration in our lives to be compliant, to be whatever God has destined, to be in compliance before this, whatever he wants to do, that we are ready, that we're in the same, we are there. There are things God has put in my heart personally that I'm doing by faith to make sure that I'm ready. There are things that are required corporately. There are things that are required nationwide. There are things that are required citywide. There are things that probably God requires the mayor to be doing in the city. There are things he requires the government. There are things God is setting in place before what he's about to do and release that will affect us, our cities, and the nation, and the nations of the earth. Amen? So we want to be in compliance. We want to be ready. We want to have the right attitude, the right heart, the right everything about us. We're praying that God, whatever he needs to do to make us ready. You know, we pray this prayer, but I just feel we need to cry out even stronger again, and I will turn it into God's hands. The more I see the weight of what I see, the more I say, God, whatever it takes, let your mercy get us where we need to be. Amen. Once we turn it to God's hand in that level, then we are good. Amen. And then God will move us and move everything he needs to move, wherever he needs to move it, and make us ready. That's the whole reason for this week. We are trying to be in compliance. Now, this is just a principle. And it's an experience that I had personally. So because I see this pattern and God allowed me to experience this pattern, I want to share it with you so that way, before the Lord, you will not think we are taking this time like the previous times that God has been preparing us. In 2009, there was a visitation that literally overwhelmed my mind, my flesh, everything I can imagine. I've never been there before. I've never had that kind of experience before. I've never been taught what to do when things like that happen. It was it was sudden, but the Lord spoke to me 2008 to expect something to happen. That 2009 at the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day. So I didn't know what to do, but it stayed for quite some weeks. I looked extremely foolish and stupid and crazy in the minds of people. I could not stop what was happening, and I could not restrain. I could not. It just was impossible. But through it all, was a learning process. I was very so afraid of such a manifestation of God, knowing what has happened and knowing the things that I know a little bit. The fear of God was so strong that I was not ready to miss a moment to be obedient to him. So it happened that, you know, then I didn't realize it, but now that God has been so gracious to be more transparent to me in this area, I realized then that in that atmosphere, I'll just put 1 + 1 based on things that God has been showing me in his word, but not speaking about the moment, you know, said some things out of season, even though it was, that atmosphere was ripe. And I'm glad now because of the lesson and the brokenness and the horrific, you know, a lot of people share their testimonies where God brought them from, what they are struggling with and stuff. I cannot ever pray that anybody will go through what I went through during that season. So those are some of the cross that eventually released the kind of wisdom that God has allowed me to enjoy so far. Now, that 2009 was very obvious. I thought we're going to just swim in a river from there. But something was in my spirit. I could not explain it. I couldn't describe it. But 2012 is 3 years from 2009. And this scripture came to me in 2010 before we went to DC. But it didn't make sense. So when we went to DC 2012, this scripture made sense. It says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year." It was exactly 3 years from 2009 to 2012. And even though this was hanging somewhere, I could not relate to it. But what happened in 2012, before we went to DC, the Lord spoke very clearly to me in the month of April 25th. I was here. And we came for all-night prayer. And we came now. And before I realized it, the Lord just came, prophetically. Mic Jones was sitting there. I was here. And before I started praying, just took over. And I know when God separates my soul from my spirit. And whenever he does that, I pay attention to whatever he's saying, and I go and study and make sure I meditate on the things that I know in the spirit is showing me, even though he's saying something. So he said some things that I thank God that day that Mike Jones was here and he recorded it. And thank God that helped me a lot, because after much of my study, I always go back to review all the things God showed to me that he mentioned in that visitation. So there were things that the Lord has spoken to me in the past. And he made it clear that whenever the time comes, it will not be blurry. That this is a process of training. And like everybody, I studied through the Bible. But he says, when the time comes, I'm God. I can make things plain. And when the things he was speaking fit very well into what he was saying. Anyway, let me put it this way. He says, if it's not perfect, it's not complete yet. Because I'm perfect. Everything has to be perfect. Whatever he reveals. Well, no matter how he reveals, it has to be really perfect. And I know what I'm talking about because of the ways he shows me things. If I have questions, no matter if it's not perfect, he says it's not complete. So when he shared that, I took it because I knew it was him, and I trembled. And from that season, I started trembling. So let me put it this way. It's like God said to Elijah here, "Go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain." And that was exactly what happened 2009, that experience. 2012 was the third year. With time, I will tell you exactly what 2012 meant prophetically, even though we prayed through it. So 2012 was the third year, and the Lord spoke this word, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain. Not, you know, just like that. But that word that came to me in April is like this. You're going to be going to D.C., and you're going to have another confrontation with the spirit of Baal over the land. And, of course, God set it up this time to for us to be on a different side where he's going to a different side that connects to the times of Jubilee of this nation with Lincoln. And then he gave me a word which was Jubilee. And that word was also confirmed when we were in Philadelphia at the Jubilee Hall there, the Independence Hall. And then the same thing, Lincoln, we went to Lincoln. So I understood finally why we were at Lincoln. And one word he gave to me was a prophetic word, which was a prayer also. Even though I read that word in Leviticus, I received the tape from that meeting, and I saw that the things God led me to pray was exactly what Elijah did in the physical realm. The prayer was against spiritual wickedness over the nation, against principalities, against witchcraft. But I specifically mentioned certain spirits, the highest of them that we've been praying for some time over. Right on that ground, I prophetically prayed that that spirit will be dethroned, and, you know, did something, just prayed, but it was a prophetic prayer, especially against the stronghold of witchcraft, which is the spirit of Baal over the nation. And that was right on the ground of the nation's biggest idolatrous mall. So after we did that, I won't say certain things specifically tonight. The Lord started confirming what he spoke in that season. And we actually, Baal, going to show yourself to Ahab, but he's just going to the headquarters of Israel. So immediately after that, I was seeing some unbelievable confirmation. But this time I've learned to really keep things to my heart. And the more I was seeing more and more and more, these are not spiritual confirmations, these are confirmations that have come through the natural realm. I knew that God has finally brought consolation. So, after, this is the next process, what happens. When Elijah received the word, then the next thing in a, after going to see Ahab and other stuff, the next thing was, he says, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So when you receive a word from the Lord and certain things have been done, like cleaning the land and doing all the repentance that was done last year and all the things, then the next thing here, he will start prophesying. Elijah was declaring. He says, I hear the sound of rain. He starts declaring prophetically. He starts speaking forth that which God has already said he will do. So we did that during the Feast of Tabernacles and all these different things that we did prophetically. Now, then Elijah went up to the mountain to pray. Amen? And then he says he was praying, and the seventh time he saw a cloud. Cloud is not rain. It has not rained for 3.5 years. The nation was in famine. The land was parched, was dry. The trees were dry. The people were almost into a very grievous famine, and it was bad. There was no hope of rain. So when they are expecting rain at that time, means it has to be a miracle. And so Elijah went and prayed, and fervently, according to the book of James, and the cloud showed up. And when the cloud showed up, Elijah stopped right then at the seventh time and ran and told, tell Ahab to run, and Elijah took off. So what that means is there are certain signs when God tells you what he's going to do. There are certain signs when you see a confirmation of what God is about to do. That's not the time to begin to question God anymore. That is the time to do everything that God is telling you to do, to move right as fast as you can to the place of readiness. That's the time you want to get yourself ready. That's the time you want to set things in place. It's no more time to see. When you see the cloud, Jesus said, when you see the cloud from the side, you know it's going to rain. So Elijah was looking for that cloud. He would tell the servant, go look. Even though he's feeling some levels of breakthrough, but it's not broken into the natural. When he saw the cloud, there was no time anymore to question the next, what is going to happen next. It was time to be positioned. It was time to be ready. It was time. Jesus knew the season, and he told his disciples, go and wait in this particular place until something happened. It was a focused moment. He didn't want them to play. So when they went and locked themselves in there, they didn't know it was going to last. He didn't tell them the day. He just said, go and wait. So they knew that was a season. They needed to be ready for whatever is coming, and they had to be in compliance. So what happened during that season? They prayed the first day. They were praying. If it took a month, they wait there. He didn't tell them the time or the day. So during the process, Peter received this revelation. Wait a minute. We're supposed to be 12, but we're 11. So God started putting things in order so that the foundation of the government, the revelation started coming. Things that had to make them stay in order started coming. Stay in compliance started coming. And they kept on. And then, because God commands blessing under a united, one heart, one mind, they were praying, and right before that Pentecost day, the Bible said they were in one heart, they were in compliance with what God wanted for him to release. What. So I use that as an illustration that there is always, no matter how many years people have been praying and preparing, when the season comes for heaven to do something, God has to require some levels of compliance from the things he wants to do for people to be ready. Amen? But this Elijah situation, Elijah is a prophet. They've not been rained for a long time. They understood what rain will look like when it comes, but he did not understand the weight of what God was going to release. And if you've been in I just came from Missouri a few weeks ago. Let's say you live in that part of the country where it's water, okay? But let's say for 3.5 years, there's been no rain. And the water level has dried. But there's water on the bottom. The water level has dried. So most of the places will look like valleys and dry grounds. But as soon as a little rain begins to fall, a day or so, begin just to pour down and pour down, before you know it, those places over, they flood immediately. And places you thought were roads, after a year of people driving through and do, become flawed. It happens in my dad's place. During the dry summertime like this, people drive through and pass that road. But during the rainy season, it's a river. So there are things, topographies like that. God knew that if Elijah is not in the place where he needs to be, what the blessing that God is sending will become a curse on him. It will stop him. It will hinder him. It will block him out in the wilderness. So, we have to be ready, no matter the area God is preparing us, so that this move of God will not be a hindrance to us. Because what God is about to do, we can't stop it. Like I said earlier, is God visiting us, not us visiting him. And we can't stop him from visiting us because this is his time to visit us. Amen? But all we need to pray now is to make sure that anything that we ought to do, we are in compliance. And because we are human, it's very possible we can make very light of it. We might not be there. We can do our best to be there. But if we pray and say, God, you know how frail I am. You know, please help me to be where I ought to be, or do the things I need to do, or put things in place. Now, it's not only about us, because this thing will affect the nation. We are praying, God, you have people. You have people you're raising to set up things. Father, visit them. Let them understand. Put them in a position to be ready for what they are supposed to do that will affect us or benefit us. Father, everybody, position them, quicken them, make things move upon the people across this nation. And you're getting ready. Let me give you one example of what I mean by this. And I believe it's prayer. A good example is, we're here, we're in Cleveland. And this thing we've been preparing for, we've been announcing it for a long time, that God is, you know, we announced it and we said 21 people at least you sign to keep the momentum, and we had some things back. When God is about to do something, he begins to prepare the atmosphere. And he's going to use people who are sensitive to it. For Cleveland, there has been this lead student praying from 6 to 11 or 12 every day from Monday to Friday, nonstop. They do that ever since God laid it in their hearts. They've been doing that. All of a sudden, a door opened for somebody, for a move in this tent prayer movement, or, you know, there are so many things tied to it, just because of time, I want to just to get into prayer. But a door opened that awakened the lead student's prayer team. It awakened them to this hour. And they, something quickened in them, and they're using the word, no more delay. We have to do it now. They were so awakened that when they met and had a meeting, they were going to have this. It was all by faith. And as they shared it, the fire hit so many of the students that they were willing to give up their spring break. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody was going to their parents in spring break. People were doing what these students stayed back here. Some of them stayed back to meet people in the city and prepare their hearts to be part of this. Some of them, about 29 of them or so, or 19, were sent to other colleges around the southeast. They did not go home to be with their parents. They went to these different colleges, calling them to come and join them in what they call Converge. It's called tent gathering. But they call the team of they call this strategy convergence. They are calling all these people to come to the Cleveland and join them in a 2 days of prayer. And the prayer is awakening and commission to mission. They want to fulfill something that happened in the 1800s. Where people were commissioned in America, young people were commissioned to go all over the world for harvest. But they did not finish the assignment. And these young people feel this is the time for them to carry that baton, and they are ready to finish the assignment. They said they are ready, but they want to pray that this will come from the Lord. So the prayer point is awakening and commission for mission. They are ready to go to the whole world. Young people. So now that they got this wind of this, okay, why Cleveland? All of a sudden, they are calling all the students to Cleveland. They are arranging for where they will all sleep in different churches and places they can provide for them. Why they are doing that? All of a sudden, these are young people said, we want a 24/7 prayer until that day. I mean, this is something we're trying to... We are here saying, sign 21 people. Let's get ourselves, let's be tuned to this. God also knows, he knows how far we can go. We could have called for 24/7, but maybe we'll not understand the weight of it. He wakens students up. Because he knows this season. He needs some level of atmosphere. The students now did not go on their break. They all went and they all came back. The ones that did not go stayed here. When I met with them, you know what they said? I said, you guys, you sacrifice your spring break. And all of them at Penera busted out laughing. How could you call that sacrifice? We are so excited. We are burning. I mean, that's not even a sacrifice. I wish we know what sacrifice is. I mean, everything I asked them that looks like a sacrifice, they turned it around. I turned around to say, to tell them, thank you for what you're. He said, no, it's not about us. It's about what the fathers have sown. We are just reaping it. They were so humble and willing to yield to God without taking a glory for it. Young people. And then, now they started this Friday. Thank God our people are connected to it. They went yesterday and joined them. They have 24/7 going right now. Prayer. 24 hours. The young boy told me, Tyler, he says, as soon as they announced it, it just filled up. Nancy works with them. So now, you see again that God wants to do something in the city that requires prayer. So he knows what we can offer. He had to hasten the hearts of the young people to create what is also needed, because God always needs something to do what he wants to do. That's a good example of a quickening, a hastening, 24/7. In this window we're talking about, why any other time? Why this day we call 21 days of prayer? Why will God choose to make the student create a week of 24/7 within this season? Why this? Why not next month? Why not the month after? Why we interrupt their spring break to make sure they do these things, and it's just moving like a fire so that it can happen within this period? Why are we scheduling this time of prayer? Why would the revivalists, the known revivalists of Brownsville and the one God, why would they be here the same time? They will be here 21st, 22nd, then the lead people is 22nd and 23rd in Cleveland. Who knows what God is doing in other places? But can you sense God moving hastening things? So those are the kind of prayer we're saying, God, lay your hands on people so that those who are not moving, move other people. Do what you can. Another good example why we're praying this is, there is a movement. There's something happening that, thank God, God gave us mercy to be part of it. 5 levels of spiritual network has been established over the nation. And Mount Zion is one of them, working with ASLPN. 5 that will cover the different angles of the body of Christ, that will bring intercessors across the nation together using modern day technology. In other words, somebody can sit here and be praying, leading prayer, and millions of people can join you and watch you in their cell phone and join the prayer. You know, like we do on the prayer network, but this one is just nation. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is God is orchestrating something. So this prayer is that God will move on people to be ready, to do what they need to do to be ready. Because on our own, if we're not ready, this thing is accelerating really fast. But in the area of prayer, the lead students for this city is a good example of what I'm trying to say. God stopped their spring break, moved on them, and thank God, what we're praying for 24/7 is happening. So nobody's overloaded. So all we are asking is, let's keep at least this 7 p.m. we have and sustain it. Because God has found other people to keep 24 going. We don't want to miss our opportunity in this season. Amen? So These are little signs. So now, I'll be more specific next week because we're getting close and we're baiting ourselves in. But like Elijah, when he saw the cloud, he stopped doubting. He stopped everything and moved. I say this because I said I just want to leave an indicator with you tonight. Sometimes we think that maybe other people do it, but sometimes we think it's easy for men of God to lie on the pulpit. But maybe they don't know the God they serve. People saying things. But if you fear God, you be careful not to say things that is not true. So, I know, like Elijah saw something leave the spiritual realm and enter the natural realm as a sign to what is expecting. The reason this season is being hastened is because what the Lord spoke in 2012 and the sign that he revealed in that season after Ahab was pointing to this season. In other words, if you saw the cloud, you were expecting the rain. So whatever the Lord showed to me, showed me that what we're expecting to happen this season is going to happen. Amen? And that's it. So if you're praying like Elijah, you're saying, go look, go look. The reason Elijah keeps saying, go look and keep praying is because he's still in the spiritual realm. He's still crying out. But the moment it has left the spiritual realm and the cloud, you can see the natural. You know, it's no more spiritual. He moved from that position to another position and moved towards preparation, towards being ready. That's where we are. It's not just Mount Zion. Thank God that some other people are catching it. Amen? They are catching the wind of this season. So that's where we are. So the prayer tonight, I want to let you know that something is going to happen this season. I don't know what it will look like, but maybe next week we'll get close to that. But whatever it is, you will know that God is merciful and he shows people things. So tonight we want to pray that God will have mercy, his mercy, and he will lay hands on us. Lay hands on people he's assigning to do things. Because there are things that needs to be in compliance. The people might be in Dakota, they might be in New York, who, I don't know, they might, you know, be like Elijah. The God is telling them, okay, I have an assignment for you to do. Whatever they need to do, whatever pastors or evangelists or ministers or whatever God has, the body of Christ, he has something for people to do. Even in the world, he has people that he's doing something, they don't know why. But anyone that is going slow, let's pray that God's hand will be upon them. Then pray that God will be upon you, will be upon your family, that whatever tonight, I just want to cross this line because I don't know, we have a lot to cover next week. To cross this line knowing, God, please, in your mercy, if you did not allow Elijah be blocked by what you're going to be doing, what he prayed for, you didn't want him to be stuck. Now, do the same for us. Make us be where we need to be. Do have things ready so that nothing will delay. Amen? There are levels that God uses to show us how he does things in time. This is about timing. When Jesus gave a parable about workers in the field, he said they started at the third hour. Now, started at the third hour, he had laborers coming. Then he had people at the sixth hour. You all know that parable. They came. Then he had people at the ninth hour. Okay, let's look at it. Third hour to sixth hour is 3 hours. They had time. their time. Then from 6 hour to 9 hour, that's 3 hours again. So he was going at his pace of 3 hours. Then all of a sudden, from the 9th hour to what? 11th hour. So it's now 2 hours. The time is getting shorter. There is an acceleration. There's something that needs to be done, but it has to be in 2 hours. And now, from the 11th hour, he says, to the 12th hour, which is now he has only 1 hour to get done. And that's why the Bible says God will do a quick work in the last days. So what many people have been doing for generations, God is raising the 11th hour generation. Or in a personal basis, whatever we've been doing in the past, that God wants results from us in 3 hours, now is requiring something in 1 hour. How can you do it? You need the help of God. You need the anointing. You need the hand of God for you to get it done. Because the reward is not going to exceed. It's going to visit. The reward is coming at the 12th hour. And everybody's going to be rewarded the same. But that job has to be done in 1 hour. And that's why the hastening. And that's why the awakening. That's why the quickening. That's why there's so many 24 prayer being raised up. The willing women, this group, everybody's raising up 24/7 prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray tonight that our lives will be in compliance. Amen. Our family lives, our job, whatever. So you already know. So let's pray tonight. Amen. Let's stand up together. And as the Lord leads you, please take this night. Just cry. You know, when Elijah prayed, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This area is a big concern in my spirit. I don't know why. Because I just know that we need a breakthrough across the nation for men and women to be awakened to the assignment in this season. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.